Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. We've got Chris, Aki, and Andy here. How are you three doing?
Pretty good, and you?
Okay.
Pretty great, dude.
We have a surprise guest with us, too.
No, we don't. Don't lie to us.
Did you guys see?
No.
Who is it?
Big Adam. See. Big Adam's here.
Oh, shit. What's up, dude?
Nobody gives a shit about me. Yeah.
No. Yay! Big Adam's here.
Hello. That is my voice.
It is.
Nice.
We have some good clips of you now.
Of me?
Oh my. Yeah.
I mean, I know that one.
Fuckable beans!
I know that one.
And?
You bag of fucks!
Oh, right. Yeah.
I like that you could tell you're playing Fall Guys in that.
Yeah, the music. I was just going to say that. The Fall Guys music is very apparent.
Oh, how's everyone doing? How was everyone's weekend?
I'm doing pretty good, man.
I can't remember.
I'm out at my parents' house in Boise. So it's been a lot of chores and helping them with stuff, and then a lot of fun stuff too. They have a swim spa, so we've been hitting the pool, and we went out and we launched rockets today. That was pretty tight. So we've been getting after it, man. It's been awesome.
Launching rockets. I did that in high school. That shit was awesome.
Hell yeah,
dude. Right? Yeah, we got the I think they're like the Esther brand or something like that. We picked them up from a Michaels or a Hobby Lobby or one of those.
Oh, and, yeah,
1900s.
Yeah. Back in the 1900s, yeah. Back when when I was a kid, we used to do rockets instead of fireworks. And so, like, the couple days leading up to it or so, my dad would show up with these rocket kits, and we'd build those and then go to a field somewhere and launch them off and try to find them and do it again. So it was, like, a cool memory. And so bringing my son over here, I was like, hey, we should try to get some of those rocket kits and see if we can launch them off. So it was a blast, dude. It was awesome.
Oh, did you set your beard on fire?
No.
Okay, that's good.
I thought about it,
very
though.
Good.
Definitely on my mind. I'm cutting it soon, too. I don't know if I told you that. I gotta shave it off.
Really?
Yeah, so I did a charity recently with actually Big Adam. Maybe he knows it or maybe he doesn't. Inspired me to do a charity for Child's Play. And after the MAGFest that we were at. And so
I'm not allowed to be inspirational. What the hell?
You, dude. You have to be now, dude, because this happened because of you. So,
Shit.
But yeah, I did a charity event for that, and you know, I think so far we've raised about $650 or something like that just through streaming, which is super awesome.
Hell yeah, dude.
It's gonna go on for just I guess the rest of this week, because at the end of the week I'm going to PAX West, and the people that is in charge, I guess some representatives from Child's Play. And I've been writing anybody who donates, I've been writing their name on a big, big inflatable banana. And I was like, hey, would you guys want this? And they wrote back and they're like, yeah, actually, that would be like really cool. You know, like if you want to bring it up or send it to us, you know, since I live in the Seattle area, I was like, I'm going to be at PAX West if you guys are going to be there. And they're like, yeah, like bring it by our booth and we'll take it from you and take some pictures with you or something, whatever you want.
I would imagine Child's Play would be at PAX.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. They are. So,
yeah, I mean, so. Yeah, that's That's super interesting. Joe, link me and Andy up on Discord after this.
All right.
I'll see if I can get in touch with my contact at Child's Play, who's one of the directors, and see if I can't get you hooked up a little bit.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Yeah, I mean, I don't want anything. I just, I mean, I've got kids too, and so I think when we were at MAGFest, hearing you guys talk about it, and then all the money, obviously, you guys raised during that event, I was like, that's like such a good charity, you know? I always try to think of, I mean, all charities are good, but
sure.
I was like,
for sure,
trying to figure out one that I kind of related to, you know? And I was like, I like games, and I have kids, and if my kids were ever in the hospital, you know, I'd want them a little bit entertained, you know, to kind of distract them from all the procedures and things going on. So
exactly, it gives children a chance to be children when they are dealing with very, very adult things in their lives.
Yeah,
like, you know,
exactly, yeah,
and stuff like that. Let the kids sit down and play some Mario Kart. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
yeah, hell yeah, hell yeah. I am honored to even be a thought in your mind when having pulled that off. That's so fucking cool.
Phrasing.
Well, the caveat to it too was I told everybody that if we hit 1,000 that I would shave my beard off. And so it was a little bit more of a push for everybody too. I've been growing this thing out for 2 years. And
Man, that would be fucked up if Joe gave me the link and I used my social network to get eyes on it. That'd be crazy.
It'd be great. But
Andy, you'll have to give me the link so I can give it to Adam.
Yeah, I'll send you the link. But I kind of told everybody, you know, either way, I'm going to shave it off, you know. And I was like, you guys did great, you know, and I kind of promised I'd do something. So
doing it on stream?
Zipping it. I'll do it on stream, dude. I'll even send you a little bit of it if you want. Envelope.
I shaved my beard for charity one time.
Same.
It was the
same year you did.
It was MAG. Let me think. It was either 11 or 12.
I think it was a while ago because I was still friends with Ross then. Because he's the one who shaved me.
It was actually my wife's first MAGFest. She was my girlfriend at the time. And we had just started dating like 2 months before MAGFest. I started dating this poor girl 2 months before MAGFest, and then with like zero heads up of what MAGFest even is, was like, hey, come with me to this hotel for a weekend. Should be cool.
Nice.
And I was like, you know, a to-do at the time. So like, it was just sheer chaos mode.
That's pretty good, like, initiation, too. Like, that's...
Yeah, right?
You're thrown to the fire there.
Yeah, she didn't run away, so I knew I had a chance.
Nice. Is this your girlfriend now, or your wife?
No, she's been my wife since 2017, so...
Oh, there you go. Yeah. All right, yeah, so she passed the test. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, you're creeping up on 10 years.
Yep.
GG.
Sure am.
GG's.
But it's for weekends, considering that was your original question, Joe. I had a pretty sweet weekend.
What'd you do?
On Saturday, I helped MC BitGen GamerFest 19.
Fuck yeah.
Introing bands, doing the opening toast with JD and gang. Doing it for 19 years now. We've all of the original leadership is still around. Sans one, who moved on with life, and that's fine. But the rest of us are still there and have been since day one because we're all just stubborn and won't quit. And yeah, that was a lot of fun. And then yesterday was actually my 40th birthday. And
oh, happy birthday, dude. To Adam.
Oh, hey, thanks. I laid super low and then had an awesome all-you-can-eat snow crab leg dinner with my wife in Emmitsburg.
Oh, dang.
And then, yeah, just laid super low all day, which is exactly what I wanted for my 40th. Because my life is insane as it is, so.
Yeah.
Give me the opposite.
What'd you do on Sunday?
Oh, yeah. Sunday we watched Forbidden Door.
Oh, my God. That was such a good AW show.
With one of the best closing matches in the cage match ever. It was bananas.
That whole show was just fantastic, top to bottom.
The Young Bucks coming out to their legitimate very first entrance music, as requested by them specifically, was Mbop by Hanson, and tears streaming down my face. I was laughing so hard, dude. I was out of breath and my chest hurt. I laughed so hard. And what really, really got it for me was Kenny Omega in the middle of a steel cage in a wrestling match, getting singing ready to along. Go to war. Not just singing, the dude was belting. I mean, he was giving it 100%. Oh, it was amazing.
The crowd was singing along too.
Yep.
Oh, so good.
Wrestling's a lot of fun.
That sounds incredible.
What does John Oliver say? Wrestling is better than the things you like? Something like that.
Something akin to that, yeah.
In our Discord in general, I posted the clip Matt shared in the wrestling on your channel of the guy getting pinned with the balloons in his hand.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's the dumbest shit ever, and I love it.
No, but that is wrestling.
I am there for that. That is what we need. Yeah.
That is pro wrestling.
And then mystery wrestling was insane the other week. They did a 22-hour match, something like that.
It was like 21:47 or something.
Something
like that.
Crazy. Apparently, in the middle of it,
21:47, mind you.
Yeah, like nonstop, not a
one match.
A car, yeah, one single match. Apparently, in the middle, one guy beat the other with a bucket for like an hour.
There was also in the middle of the
match. Wrestling? This sounds crazy.
There was also in the middle of a match a licensed refereed Uno game.
Yep.
Just saying.
What?
It was fantastic. It's Evil Uno's Mystery Wrestling. They stream on Twitch, and then you can join their Patreon to get their back catalog. They have like what, 17 events, something like that? 16, and they have another one coming 16
up. 16 or 17, yeah.
In a month or two. It's Canadian, it's right too, there. So you know it's fun.
It's wrestling and Uno?
Well, the Uno game of Uno is just part of how to fill up 21 hours of time in a single wrestling match.
Yeah.
To go for the world record.
Okay. Wild.
Yeah, just in the middle, they played Uno.
That's crazy.
Yeah. They do really fun stuff in there.
Sounds like it. I'm going to check one of these out.
Credit to WWE in the very rare time they deserve it. They had a situation in Mexico where a man who is 3'2" go up against a man who is 7'2".
Oh, what a sight that was.
It was literally hysterical looking.
Oh, beautiful. Wrestling is just fun sometimes.
Yeah, wrestling, drama aside and, you know, tribalism aside, wrestling as a whole has gotten a lot better because of the competition. So I'm here for it. It's made the product I prefer a lot better. It's made the competition forcefully step their game up, which is only in turn going to make the product I like even better. Yeah. So fucking rock on.
I really enjoyed Finn Balor pulling out a demon puppet against Mr. Iguana.
And I saw that. That lizard was puppet. Absolutely hysterical. And then the demon puppet ate the lizard puppet. Like, come on. It's perfect. If you can't find fun in that, you don't have a soul. Like, it's crazy.
It is crazy.
And you wanna wrap the spectrum to get into the reviews on a high note of wrestling?
Yeah.
Diamond Dallas Page released a video 4 days ago about the legendary Lex Luger. And for those who don't know, that man's been wheelchair bound for a very long time. And it's only been getting worse. DDP released a video of Lex going through his health services, DDP yoga. And Lex is up and walking now, which is insanity. So good for Lex. Glad to see one of the legends have a come up a little bit.
Yeah. My mom loved him.
A lot of people's moms loved him.
My mom, she was telling me, she's like, oh, they run the old wrestling, like the 70s and 80s stuff on this one channel. Like, mom, if you liked it in the 80s, you should really check out AEW. She's like, I don't know anyone. I'm like, Sting wrestled in there. She's like, no, he didn't. I pulled up video of his final match, like him going through panes of glass. And she's like, is that really him? Because she knew him as Surfer Sting.
Right.
Yeah.
next time, just show her a video of the Outrunners. Be like, recognize these guys?
I think they opened the card she went to.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, dark match. But yeah, y'all ready for a review? Should we dive into these?
Let's do it.
All
right, let's kick these off. Relic Hunters Legend, developed and published by Rogue Snail, released August 14th on Series X and S, Xbox, PC, and hits version 1.0 on Steam. Relic Hunters Legend is a looter shooter RPG combining fast-paced gunplay, a vast arsenal of weapons, and deep character customization. Defeat enemies, collect rare loot, and refine your build to become an unstoppable force against the Dukan Empire. What it? I don't know. Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah,
Dunkin' Donuts Empire.
Empire. Adam, Andy, both of you covered this. Who wants to start?
I'm going to let Andy take the lead, but I'll back him up.
Cool. I got a nice write up for it, so I'll go through this real quick.
Infinitely more prepared. Love to see it.
I always got to write stuff out, otherwise I'm like, it's a fun game that
If I don't improv, I have zero personality. So I have learned to improv everything.
Okay, cool. Well, then yeah, we're good. We're a good team. Kicking it off, dude. Relic Hunters Legend is what you get if you basically have the ex-employees of like a Cartoon Network designed a version of Borderlands, made it a top-down twin stick instead of a first-person looter shooter. The game, as far as the storyline goes, has a few episodes and a comic to actually help explain the storyline, which basically revolves around an evil emperor named Duke Dukan, who somehow steals the past, tricks everyone into thinking he's the good guy. It's up to your band of rebels to travel around the galaxy in search of relics, hence the name Relic Hunters, in order to prove he's a big fat liar. So along your way, you come in contact with a character named Seven, who can travel through time, but unfortunately has lost his memory. Seven joins your party of six playable hunters, all of which will be used throughout the Relic Hunters Legend storyline. It's set like kind of a very lighthearted tone. If you're trying to jump into this one, you don't have to worry about like blood and guts, you know, or anything. So if you wanted to, you could play with your kids. That being said, it's total action all the time. Levels with plenty of replayability. Different game modes, boss battles, special missions, end game content, challenge modes, and an extreme amount of weapon, armor, and loot drops. Running solo or with a team of four players, you'll blast your way through hordes of enemies using all kinds of guns, bombs, items, special abilities. Complete the mission, unlock the next level in the area, do it all again. The variety in level modes and exploration definitely break up the looter shooter routine, and aside from levels feeling what I thought was a bit too easy at times, it's really fun to run through areas of the team. I play a lot of looter shooters or twin stick shooters, so maybe it's easier to me than it would be to somebody else. It's got a lot of explorative levels. It's got crafting and level up systems, personalized character skill trees, character customization, in-game achievement hunting, Honestly, Relic Hunters has just a ton packed into this game. Around everything, the only gripe I think I had was the UI system, which can be a little confusing at times as to what you're actually doing. I had trouble, like leveling up too. I had a couple levels that were capped, or a couple characters, excuse me, that were capped at level 10. Aside from it being a little wonky at times too, there's also as I mentioned, like the in-game achievements too, with like you have to go through, and the achievements kind of set to each character and then also to each like area you're in or like biome. And so I was constantly going back and trying to like redeem all these things, which you have to redeem one at a time. Just some simple, UI upgrades, and then maybe a redeem all option would be really nice too. But it's got some good wild adventures, lots of action. It's really colorful. Like I said, the Cartoon Network kind of vibe really sets it apart. But Adam, go ahead. Tell me what you thought of it.
So I absolutely agree. The game's all action all the time. I am addicted to looter shooters in general, no matter what view they take. I love the idea of being able to upgrade things, being able to upgrade weapons that you prefer, scrap weapons that you don't like to get parts from them, so you can upgrade the things that you do like. I do like that. I wish there was more, as opposed to just being able to like plus one things, kind of like, akin to like a Dark Souls weapons level up. I wish there was maybe a slight bit of weapon customization. Maybe add the ability to like add effects or abilities or something like that. I think that would really be cool. But that being said, there is a huge amount of weapons in that game, and there is an equally huge amount of abilities that they can have. I love the legendary system that's in it. I love that you can find weapons that you're not going to be able to use for a few levels. I think that always definitely pushes the player to play more. Like thinking about it right now, I kind of want to jump back into it. A couple of things that I will say, a couple of high notes. The art style is like a super high def Scott Pilgrim versus the World, in my opinion. I don't know if Andy would agree with that, but that's kind of,
yeah, I could see that.
But the artistic like vibe is that like Cartoon Network Borderlands. I do agree that that's what they're going for, but the art style definitely looks like a super high definition Scott Pilgrim versus the World, which is awesome. I think that's great. I love the middle ground between the retro style of like isometric gameplay where everything's 2D, but it uses a really clean, really sharp, really high definition, of today's age kind of graphics. I love that. I do agree that the UI, the having to tick all the boxes between every phase of every map gets a little tedious. A redeem all would be awesome, or the opportunity to maybe have a set time to do it in the map versus wanting to do it between every round, because you're really just trying to get those notifications to go away. At least I was. So you have more of your screen real estate back. I think the game has a very fun soundtrack. I think the game has very fun and funny voice acting. It's super corny in the best of ways. They kind of jump the shark in terms of corny cartooniness, but again, in good ways, because it definitely made me chuckle a few times. All in all, I definitely think that I'm going to try and convince my gaming gang to pick this one up and give it a go, because I think playing this with the team would be awesome. I certainly, in the time that I was able to spend with it, had a great time with it.
All right.
Well, yeah, I wasn't able to. Oh,
go ahead, Andy.
I was just going to say I wasn't able to play it with a team recently, but I actually picked this one up probably about 6 months to a year ago when it was in early access too. And I had a couple friends that got me into it, and I just thought it was awesome. I had a great time with it. So playing it with a team is definitely a little bit better. You know, you and your buddies are joking around about, you know, the comedic side of the game for sure. But even in solo play, it's pretty fun.
One other thing that you mentioned that I definitely want to co-sign for you is some of the levels are absolutely too easy. I think that either they could add, I think it boils down to, I think they could put a higher quantity of enemies on the screen and at any given time. I don't think they need to have more health or do more damage. I think that that's all fine as it stands. But I think there are too many situations where you run into, okay, you killed the wave, but then there's nothing else until you trudge along to the next area. And that gets a little lame. I kind of wish it was a little bit more of a challenge.
Yeah, I felt like it was almost like kind of how like Doom is, you know, where you have areas of the map that have enemies, you know, and you're exploring in between, and then you get there and it's like, okay, now we're going to fight a couple of guys, you know, or a couple of rounds of enemies, you know. And then once that's over, you're going to move on to the next thing. There wasn't really enemies, like you said, like in between areas. I mean, even a difficulty setting, you know, in the game would be nice, or enemy modifiers, you know, if you wanted a more challenging experience. But there is some end game content to this one too. So,
oh, okay. Well, I haven't gotten there yet. So, yeah, it's just leveling up. I feel like. Is a little tedious in the beginning because you just don't run into that much to shoot, unfortunately.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk.
Joe, go ahead.
Let's talk about price on this one. I got the price wrong in the intro. Apparently, I had the early access pricing. But I'm going to edit that because I don't make mistakes on this show. On Steam, it comes in at $20. On Xbox, it comes in at $23.99. What do you two think of Relic Hunter's Legend?
Like I said, I picked this one up in early access. So when I grabbed it, it was maybe like $10, $12, you know, or something like that. But this game has such a good amount of everything from action to upgrade systems to, I mean, there's hundreds of guns and armor and weapons and customizations and, you know, abilities and things like that that you can kind of tier through, skill trees that you can upgrade. So yeah, I mean, $20 seems, I mean, almost low for it. I would say definitely get it, in my opinion.
Yeah, like I'm actually surprised that it's going to launch at a $20 and $23 price point. I would definitely think this would be more of, not definitely not like a AAA title price, but like I was definitely thinking something like 25 or 30. So I definitely at that price, especially if it has the potential to go up when they add more content later in life, definitely I would say it's absolutely worth that purchase price.
Very cool. There's also a DLC pack for it. This includes a couple of skins, an emote, a hat accessory for the hunters. I don't know about it's $20 for the supporter pack. What are your thoughts on that? That seems really steep for what's in there.
Those kind of things for me personally, and I don't push this thought system on anybody else. It's just kind of what I do. If the DLC is 100% cosmetic, I'm most likely not going to get it. And the reason is, if I'm paying for the game up front, then I don't have the guilt of, well, it was free to play, so you want to support the developer. Like, I paid their asking price for the game. So in that instance, I'm only going to pay for cosmetic stuff if it specifically appeals to me, not as a gift to the developer.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
I totally understand.
I just looked it up too. So it does have a couple of skins. But I think it also comes with the original soundtrack. And then also that's on
Steam. The Steam version has a bundle with the soundtrack. Soundtrack is also available separately for $5 if you want to go that route.
Mm-hmm. And then it's got a
box. I'll throw that
out. It's got a digital comic in it as well, too.
Well, 120
pages.
Considering the art is really fun, that's worth $5. I'd say that's worth $5 all day.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd get it. I'd pay $5 for it, but yeah. I'm not a big cosmetic guy, so you know, I'd say just go grab the game. The game is cool. Play the game. Oh, the comic, see where you want to go from there.
The comic is in the $20 pack, not the $5. Just the soundtrack for $5.
Oh, gotcha. Well then, yeah.
That sounds like a good game with some unnecessary DLC.
Yeah, I mean, the DLC really kind of boils down to the user, right? If you're a big comic fan, grab the DLC. If you're not, then it is what it is.
Very good.
Yeah.
Sounds all right. Andy and Adam, I will let you two get going. Andy, I know you got to be with your family. And Adam, I know you just want to go the fuck to bed. So I will let you two get going. Thank you so much for joining, hanging out. Andy, any final words on your end?
Well, so I posted the link to the charity. If you wanna drop that, you got a couple more days. To donate to charity. So
send it to
I will. Awesome. But yeah, no, play some games and have some fun, and we'll see you next episode.
Rock on. Adam, final words on your end.
I think people in general should watch more professional wrestling.
I agree.
And I think that's where I want to leave this episode at for me.
Sounds good. You two have a wonderful night. And Adam, I'll see you for Dynamite tomorrow.
Indeed you will. Have a good one, y'all.
Later.
Later, dude.
All right, next game to talk about, Iwakura Aria, developed by Mages, Inc., published by P-Cube, released August 14th on Switch and PC for $39.99. The Iwakura Mansion holds a dark secret. Ichiko, the new young maid, joins looking for nothing but safety and security, but would soon find herself entangled with the beautiful daughter of the Iwakura household. Unravel the secrets of the Iwakura Mansion in this gripping suspense visual novel. Aki, tell us about your time with this one.
All right, so this is a visual novel where you play as Ichiko, and you're from an orphanage, and your life kind of, what's the word? Oh yeah, it fucking sucks.
That's 2 words.
You know, this, well, get over it. This is ye olden days of shithole, and you were originally working in construction, even though you're 16, and then some old creepy dudes that worked with you tried to put the moves on you without your desires, so you quit, and now everyone's kind of pissy with you. Yay for old Japan days! And suddenly, while selling a bunch of what's best quantified as a bunch of fucking junk from the orphanage to try and get funds for said orphanage, and wealthy man comes up and decides to buy a drawing that you happen to have made and was immediately decided, again, without your wishes, that was going to be sold, along with all the other junk, because they need money, and, well, your opinion doesn't matter. So, yeah! He decides to buy the art.
I just want to jump in real quick to say I'm looking at the Steam page. I found an image that I'm going to put Jacob's face on.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, no. That horrifies me already. And yeah, so he buys your drawing and decides, you know, we need a live-in maid. And you were just mentioning to your friend here how you don't have a job. Why don't you come be our maid? Besides, I think my daughter would get along just fine with you because she really likes art. So you're like, fuck it, why not, I guess. And yeah.
That is your scale.
Yeah. And, you know, you get there, and there's the opening of the game. The rest of the game is you dealing with trying to figure out this family and the people around them, because they come from a lot of money, but no one knows how they got their money. And they do a lot of weird, shady-seeming things that are done behind closed doors. So it ends up being kind of a mystery, just trying to figure out what the fuck is going on with this family, as well as a romance, because this is a Yuri visual novel, which means it's girl love. So, you know, Ichigo and Arya start to have a fling.
Now I know I covered this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And, yeah. Or Ichigo and the chef at the house, Sui, they could have a fling. It's really up to you. And yeah, there's a bunch of quote-unquote bad ends in this. And by bad ends, like, the first one you can come across is you work there for a couple months and you get fired and you get handed a ton of money that you use to make your life significantly better, and it all of the endings are basically set like years and years and years in the future. So now you're like a TV and radio star. And it's like, if that's the kind of bad end that's a bad end, I would love some bad ends in my life, please and thank you. Because I'm used to other games where the bad ends, like, you suddenly feel coldness in your chest and warmth spreading from it. And you look down and you see a pair of scissors being yanked out of your chest. Like, that's the kind of bad end I'm used to. What the hell? You get paid a lot of money and you get told, sorry, it didn't work out. Here's $1 million. Have fun. Where the fuck is that kind of bad end for me? Hello? Yes, please. So, yeah, you're just trying to get along with these people. Arya starts off very off-putting. She has clearly no interest in you being around, because you're just some schmuck that she doesn't want in the house. And you slowly get her to open up, basically because she learns, oh, you do art. Oh, I like your art. Okay, let's be friends now. and then your romance continues from there. And it deals, you know, as I said, with the family mysteries and how they're interacted. It impacts how your character and Arya get along, because both of you end up feeling very caged by your lives, with you needing money and just your life being kind of shit, and Arya being, you know, who she is in her family. You both end up feeling very trapped, and you have to deal with those emotions and how they sometimes cause Ichigo and Arya to come into conflict with each other, and how they don't always quite know how to deal with each other outside of that, just because they're both from very different backgrounds, one being a rich girl and the other being, you know, extremely destitute, you know, one with a family, one obviously from the orphanage. So there's a lot of differences that they have to work through. And yeah, it deals with some heavy topic. There's a number of points where they mention child abuse, sexual assault, self-injury, things like that are just throughout the entire thing, which is, you know, upsetting to a number of people for obvious reasons. So yeah, it's a little kind of buyer beware type of situation. If you look online, you can find various tags where they're like, oh yeah, here's some content warnings for the game. You can find a whole bunch of them. And yeah, the art of this game is, it's very pretty and at the same time kind of off-putting, because it has, what the fuck's the term? Where things are almost human, but not quite, and it makes you be like, ooh, that's weird.
Uncanny Valley?
Yes, that. It's very much that. Because all of the art in this looks like it's an older style painting. Very pretty, very bright, very colorful. And then you get the characters, and they look like you'd expect out of an anime character and out of a real life painting if they were combined, and it just throws it just slightly off, because I think probably because the eyes are just a little too big, because anime characters tend to have extremely large eyes. So everything gets put through that. Not only is this straight up a visual novel, but you also have chunks between it where you get to go and visit different rooms in the house, most of which don't impact the story at all. They just give you a little bit of extra tiny backstory or some extra lines to read. Like, you might go into one room on a day where you're supposed to clean it, and the character might be like, oh, there's some date here. I need to make sure to watch over that if I have opened the windows. And there you go. That's all the conversation to be had in that room. But it just gives you a little something extra. Sometimes you occasionally meet other characters in there and have a very short conversation. But all the rooms that you can go to are all listed on a map, basically. You get the floor plan. And most of the rooms are black, and some of the rooms are red. The red ones you have to visit in order to go to the next chunk of the story, whereas the black one is all the ones where you just go there, get a little bit. And
Aki, are you looking at the stream?
No, because I know you're about to say it has something to do with Jacob, and I'm not sure I want to see that.
Look at the stream.
Oh god, this is going to be horrifying, isn't it? This is... Yeah, why do you have to make things horrifying?
For the MP3 people, check out our YouTube page to find out what image we're talking about.
I am...
You're ready?
I'm looking.
Here you go.
Looks good so far.
There you go.
That's no bueno. No bueno.
Yeah.
Yeah,
corner, the you same saw be- picture.
No, as you saw before, Jacob's face was so rudely implanted there. Character looks a little off because of the eyes, as I mentioned prior. But every room you visit, you get to see the visuals of that room, which is why I mentioned that after the art style, because they're all very pretty, very, you know, rich bitch rooms that are unnecessary. Like, they have a breakfast room. A room just for breakfast? The fuck? Who has that? Why have that? That's stupid. Stuff like that. So, yeah. Music is really good. There's a whole bunch of music. As you play through the game, you unlock music in the extra menu even. So if you really like some music, you can just head out and listen to the tracks as you've unlocked them. It also has in the extras things like the CGIs. There's not a lot of them, but there are some. I think there's 13, 14, something like that, I think. So, nice. Yeah, the game isn't super long. You can probably 100% it in 15 to 20 hours. There's 10 endings. There are some side stories that you unlock as you're playing through the game that you can read through. They don't take very long to read. They're like a 10-20 minute read. And yeah, it's a nice story.
All right. Well, let's wrap this one up. Clocks in. $39.99. What are your thoughts on Iwakura?
I'm generally for this. This is like $2 for every dollar. Reverse that, $2 for every hour you spend in it. That's not too bad. I'm totally for it. Yeah, I'm 100% for it. If you like girl love, this is for you. Just if any of that content that I mentioned in the content warning bits is something that you're like, no, then obviously don't, because you can't bypass any of that shit. it is, they just talk about it. So... Yeah. If you're sensitive to that stuff, maybe not get this one. But if you're okay with all that, totally a buy it to me.
Yeah, the Steam page officially says this game contains mature content that may not be suitable for all audiences. It includes strong language, violence and blood, themes of suicide and self-harm, and sexual content, including reference to sexual violence. So, proceed with caution.
Yeah.
If that sounds sensitive to you. Nah.
Yeah.
I see you're playing this now.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm trying to get further in it. because I haven't unlocked very many of the endings. I'm trying to find the endings, and sometimes it's just not very easy to do. Yeah, this is not going to be like a lot of the visual novels I play, where it's like, yay, lesbian sex, woo, fun. No, this is bad times, yo. So, yeah.
All right, moving on. Next game, Off, developed by Mortis Ghost and Fangamer, published by Fangamer, released August 15th on Switch and Steam for $14.99. The batter has a sacred mission to fulfill. He seeks to purify the world. You, then, the controller, the soul that he harbors, must aid him in this laudable task. Alongside my sportive companion, you will find it necessary to solve puzzles, rain blows upon certain hostile individuals of our wild zones, and oversee the headways and logistics of a network of swan boats and interurban locomotives. Chris, what the hell is going on in this?
I don't know. Okay, so yeah, I understood maybe half of that, and I'm playing the game. Okay, so Off. This is an interesting one. This is a remaster, I guess you could say remake, of a 2008 indie RPG that was originally created in RPG Maker. So that was a particularly, like, you know, the aughts were like, you had like, that was when there weren't as many indie games at all, like, that had seen any like distribution of any kind. So like this one, while it did definitely fly under my radar, you know, it seemed to have gotten itself like a cult following and such. And of course, among the members of that cult following are one Toby Fox, who went on to create Undertale. So this is yet another of those games kind of derived from the kind of Earthbound larger circle of influence, and then would, you know, in that secondhand kind of way, also influence Undertale, which became way more popular than all the other games that influenced it combined. So yeah, this is a kind of another piece to that. So this one, definitely, it definitely has 2008 written all over it, in that you definitely have like a little bit of an edgelord opening. This, you know, evil Cheshire Cat looking thing comes at you with, like, you know, community college sophomore vocabulary, describing as poetic as possible something you don't quite know what he's talking about. But they make you name, you don't name the character. The character in the game is the batter, but you name yourself, and you're the soul of that character that that the character represents. So, you know, they lay out the meta in a way that would not fly nowadays, but definitely flew in 2008. It was definitely like seen as clever, but, you know, now it's kind of a cliche. But, you know, hey, that's fine. It's good to know where these things come from, right? And yeah. But yeah, so basically you are tasked, well, your batter is tasked, that is to say, he is kind of entering the world of the game with the mission in mind that he is going to purify all of the areas of evil influence and whatnot. He seems pretty single-minded to that task, has a kind of misguided hero vibe to him. And yeah, he looks like one of the frames of animation of a batter batting and bases loaded on the NES, but black and white. I noticed that right away. I was like, hey, that looks like that. I don't know if it actually is, but it definitely reminded me of that. But anyway, yeah, so you walk around these extremely square areas and, you know, talk to people, kind of figure out what's going on in that area. Like I said, it's all very abstract. You know, you go from where you're hunting specters, like ghosts in a barn, where they, I guess, extract ore from dead cows. And then, you know, you go on to a smoke mine where they mine smoke for people to breathe and end up in a end up in the Postal Service, you know, part of a office building that has like 99,000 floors, you know, like it's very hard to put into words like what happens in this game because it's all very out of left field. And you know, it's like it doesn't bother. It doesn't really want to explain itself. So whether it eventually does is a who knows situation. I imagine because this game has fans, eventually it does kind of straighten up to be some kind of, you know, philosophical thing. But the actual gameplay looks like walking around a bunch of square areas as your character and getting into random encounters in which, you know, you attack them, they attack you. Eventually you befriend just these rings. You know, I've got one called Alpha right now. You know, you get another one that's called Omega, and then, you know, like another one, and I don't know whom else. And they just act as different characters that can also pull moves in the party. They don't speak or do anything. Like, the journey feels very solitary, except that you keep running into the cat, who keeps kind of pushing you in the direction that your character seems to already want to go. So, you know, then gives you hints and stuff, which is pretty handy. Speaking of hints, one of the other things that you do is solve very obtuse puzzles. Some of them require memorizing, writing down, or taking a screenshot of numbers that you find along the way towards the inevitable end, where they're like, by the way, you need to know some numbers to get through here. And you're like, oh, well, I wonder if they're these numbers I've run into. And so this is good for the Switch because the Switch has an automatic screenshot button and you can access it anytime during the gameplay. So there were a couple of times where I was like, haha, I didn't have to write this down today, buddy. although I did get all the way to the end of a dungeon with, like I said, you know, random encounters and everything. And then at the end, they were like, you need the code. And then it just pulls up a number entry. And I'm like, ah, so I've got to go back and figure out what number I missed on the way back. So, yeah, it's basically those are the only real gameplay elements I've found is, like I said, you know, take note-taking puzzles, and, you know, there's a couple, like, pushing squares out of the way kind of puzzles, like you would have in, like, a 2D Zelda or something, and, you know, like I said, it's getting through areas, fighting enemies, fighting bosses, and unraveling a mystery that will either come off as very profound or very silly, depending on how many of these you've already played. For me, it's like, you know, it's a few, but I recognize what they're doing because a lot of it is very meta. You run into an item shop that is extremely like, hey, I exist outside the video game. I'm going to refer to video games and cliches and stuff. And I'm like, you would most surely not be welcome in a 2025 video game. But no, I totally see where, you know, where the folks of 2008 that were into this kind of thing would have gotten a laugh out of this. So yeah, and this is a remake, like I said, so certain things have been completely redone from the original. Again, I have never played the original. I just did a little bit of research on this. A lot of it has to do with the battle UI. It's been stylized in a way that I think looks pretty cool for a 2D game. It may remind you of, you know, it's kind of, you know, text is really big and it's like animated and like, you know, there's words on the screen and stuff like that. You know, it kind of gives you that a little bit of a Persona vibe, I would say. And the music has also been changed apparently for like legal reasons or some other, maybe some other reasons, you know, indie games, maybe some people had a falling out or something. that happens quite a lot. As more and more of my friends get into indie game development, we find out that there's a lot of drama goes on with these things sometimes. I don't know that that's the case here. Like I said, I certainly haven't done more than the bare amount of research for this, but I will say that the battle theme and various other songs have been changed from the original. So if you're a fan of the original, then there's going to be some new stuff. And there's also there's new characters and encounters that are, we're past the embargo, but we were embargoed as to talking about them, and I'm not interested in talking about them. So I'm just going to say that there's new stuff. There's new characters, new battles, a lot of new content for folks who are coming back to this game rather than, you know, branching out for the first time.
All right. Well, let's talk price on it. $15. What do you think of this one?
Yeah, $15 sounds good. Like, that's anything under $20 is generally a good price for a full-fledged RPG. This one, I enjoy the mystery of it. I would like to get to the end and see what's really going on with this thing. I would love to have my mind blown by this abstract stuff all coming down to something more relatable. It's pretty fun to play. It kind of does feel its age a little bit. That is to say, there's only so much you can do with, you know, RPG Maker. So it's a lot of it's been done well after this game came out and made its impact. So it does kind of feel like it's a throwback item rather than something brand new and innovative. But at the same time, $15 is a fair price for it. So I'd say go ahead and buy it if you're interested in it. If you're interested in meta, you know, I'm not going to say humorous RPGs. It's abstract and absurd, but I don't think there's any real, it's a dour game. There's not a lot of silly fun jokes to be had about this. But it will confuse you and make you weirded out sometimes. But yeah, I'd say if you're into that, then yeah, it's definitely recommended.
Very good. All right. Yeah. Next game. Alfia, the Wrath of a Fairy, developed by Marslit Games, published by Neon Doctrine and Gameseer Publishing, released August 21st on Steam for $19.99. Alfia, I don't know this word. Alfia, the Wrath of a Fairy, is a fantasy adventure game where a sword-wielding guardian and an arcane monk must learn to work together to defeat the void corrupting their home. Explore rune temples, solve environmental puzzles, rescue spirits, and defeat giant void monsters. Aki, what's going on in this one?
Okay, in this you play as a young girl who was training to be a guardian. She was training with her mother, who was already a guardian, and some bad shit happened, and a guy from the void killed your mom. And since then, you've kind of been like, you know what? Fuck this guardian shit. I'm good with not being this. It took my mom and it left me with nobody, so it can eat a big bag of dicks. Which, you know, completely fair. I can't argue with that belief system there. You know, if that were me, I probably would have said fuck this shit too. So, you know, whatever. And yeah, you get introduced to this monk guy, and he's like, I need your help. I need you to get me to this temple because the void guy is back and he's fucking up the shit in the village. And every time this void guy shows up, he creates these little monsters that attack anything around it, as well as these weird mass of tumorous growths that you have to destroy. So yippee, he's fucking up the scenery and hurting people. What a dick. So you're like, fine, I guess I will help you get to your temple, little monk boy, even though you're a monk and can fight on your own and therefore should be able to get there on your own just fine. But whatever, I will go with you, I guess, because I need something to do today, I guess. So you take the monk and you start on your little journey. The thing about this monk is he's not exactly what I would classify as a human being. He sometimes seems like a human, but the rest of the time he's as a floating wolf ox spirit thing instead. Sometimes he's on all fours like an actual fox, and sometimes he's floating around like he's just straight up a spirit. He helps power different things for you. Like, for instance, there's some magic that he can use to join into your sword to make it a huge fuck-off size sword that does a lot more damage. It can only hit a few times because it's based on how much magic he has, and he starts off with three little sections. You can send him out to attack while you're fighting in battle, and the attack is really kind of shit, but he runs off and goes and bites them once, and it does next to no damage. I don't know why it exists, to be honest, because it doesn't even stun them or anything. Later on, you eventually get Bo, and he enters into that and powers it up so you can shoot arrows out of nowhere. So, and then he has his own little special abilities that you unlock, like he allows you to teleport amongst little teleportation pads that you occasionally find in the environment. And the rest of the time, you're just, you know, whacking things with a one-handed sword. And it's pretty fun, actually, surprisingly. I did come across an issue with the game where it kind of sort of became a broken sack of shit pretty early on in the game, and they have not been able to fix the issue yet.
Why do you found break everything? After,
because I touch it. That's why. Basically, after I completed the first of, I believe, three temples that you're going to end up having to visit, the area immediately outside of it just became a glitchy fucking mess. My character, as they were moving around, stuttered constantly as though I was lagging in a multiplayer game. And the camera would zip around as though the settings were at the highest possible setting. And then eventually it would freeze everything but my ability to move the camera, which would make me have to hard quit out of the game. And it just did that every time. So that section's just kind of fucked for me and I can't get out of it. So yay, fun. So sadly, I didn't get as far into this game as I would have really liked, but I got through at least about a third-ish of it, I think. I rather enjoyed what I had. You get a lot of choices with your settings when it comes to things like how quick the camera moves, so you're able to fine-tune that, thankfully, because it always it moves up by 0.1. Instead of just one, so that's nice, and you get like a 0.1 to a full 5, which, yeah, I don't know who the fuck puts it up 5, but, you know, I guess there's some people there who are psychotic. I think it's a pretty fun game. It was really cute. I liked the ability to teleport once I unlocked it, which was sadly right before the game broke. I really want to see more uses of that, and it makes me very sad. Yeah, but your character, every time she interacts with the world in cutscenes and stuff, she's kind of a little brat, which is kind of amusing. The whole time I'm like, someone might need to bitch slap you, girl. Jesus, get the hell over things. Because she's just kind of a bitch to everybody. It's really funny.
So are you.
I know, and I should be bitch slapped pretty regularly, but I'm not.
Agreed. Put 15 hours into this one too. Jeez.
Yeah. Damn. I was fucking around a lot in that game though. Because there's a lot of collectible stuff that you can find in it. I don't know if any of it has to do with achievements or anything, but like there's little. Well, I say little. There's big-ass plants you can find that you grab a fruit or something off of that's like a sundew tier or some shit like that. And there's other things that you can collect. And I was just going around just trying to find all that shit that I could. And I kept going to different areas that I wasn't supposed to be yet, but I'm me and I got a weigh in anyways. That might be why the game's more. I'm not sure. That could be part of it.
Proud of you.
And, yeah. And I fucked around with a bunch of puzzles, only to realize I couldn't solve them, and I kept trying to figure out why I couldn't solve them. It turns out it's because I needed the teleport power that I didn't have for, like, another 4 or 5 hours.
GG.
And I spent a few hours there just trying to figure out, why the hell am I not able to solve this? And there you go. That's why. So, 15 hours, a lot of that was just fucking around trying to figure things out.
Proud of you. Yeah. I'm seeing a lot of people on Steam saying that the tech issues are causing this one problems and holding them back from recommending it. It's $20. What are your thoughts on it?
I'm sadly with them, because, you know, I can't even get to the halfway point of this game because of, would you look at that? Technical issues. So I'm going to have to put this as a pass right now. Once they get this shit worked out, I can get further into the game, then it might be a buy it. Because I have enjoyed what I've played of it. It's just, I hit a wall, and if you're playing through this, you know, the proper way where you're going from point A to point B, like it tells you, you'll get where I am much faster than 15 hours. Much, much faster. I went literally everywhere I could go before I went to where I was supposed to go every single time. So, yeah, no, you'll like hit this brick after like 4 or 5 hours probably, and I can't recommend it at that point. So once they fix it, if they fix it, I hope they do, then I'll take another look at it, see what I think. But for now, definitely a pass.
Gotcha. All right. If we get any kind of word on an update or a patch, we will revisit this. We got one last game to talk about with y'all, and then Purnell's going to drop by to wrap up the show with me. But Candyland's Journey, developed by Spellpie and Uncle Frost Team, published by Uncle Frost Publishing, will release September 4th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5 for $9.99. Wait, this is published by Sometimes You. Why the hell do I have the wrong info on this one, too? What the hell? Developed by Spellpie and Uncle Frost Team, published by Sometimes You on console. I guess Uncle Frost was the PC. I don't know. September 4th, Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, $10 each. There is a trouble at the Magic University. The Heart of Magic has been stolen by pastry witches. What? Adventure across on a journey through a beautiful world drawn in pixel art style. Buy magic wands, collect jewels, and fight monsters to return the magic crystal. Chris, what is Candyland's Journey?
Okay, so, man, hard to say, because the game certainly doesn't say. This is a 2D platformer where you play as, a magician or witch or something, a girl with a wand. And a thingamabob gets stolen by a witch who is, I guess she's a pastry witch because she's so caked up. You'll see if you play the game. Anyway, she went and stole something while I was distracted. And so you got to go through a whole bunch of levels to, like, you know, go and recover said item. There's a lot of things in this game. And no text to describe what it is. The first, like, area of the game is, like, this shop. And it's a hub. Like, it's kind of a hub world. And it's where you can purchase, with jewels that you collect throughout the game, different wands with different powers. And different hats that, you know, you can only wear them one at a time. So, you know, you don't want to just sit there and purchase all the hats. You'll be leaving them behind. So it's like basically like a loadout, right? And then you go into these levels and you do some platforming and some enemy attacking and try to find puzzle pieces that are kept track of in the game's between levels, like UI. There's enemies there that you have to deal with. with your wand and, you know, whichever wand you got. And then, like I said, you have to find different things that will get you, like, through this stage. And, you know, there's, like, different puzzles that correspond to different wands, and they'll have, like, the symbol on it, so you'll know, like, oh, this has ice blocks in it. They have the symbol of the ice wand, so I'm going to need that ice wand. So, you know, you kind of, like, there's a little bit of a, not so much a Metroidvania aspect to it, but, you know, like, you have to come back and collect some things sometimes. By default, it's kind of interesting. Like, I don't know, I would describe the gameplay as kind of Wario-esque, believe it or not. The hats give you different powers. And like I said, you flip them around, so you can only, if you get a hat, you have to, like, press the X button to, on the Switch controller to pick it up, and then that leaves your previous hat behind. And only when you pick up a hat will you even know what it does, except for this one stone hat with horns that just says question mark, exclamation mark. I'm like, thanks, game. But, like, for instance, you'll have the levitate hat, which makes you slow fall if you hold down the jump button when you're falling. Easy enough. Then there's, like, the rabbit-looking jumper hat, which makes you jump extra high, which is great. That's great for platforming. And then you have the smasher hat, which I haven't figured out how to use yet. The game makes you play a tutorial level, and this would be the perfect opportunity to let you try all the hats and figure out what they do, but they don't do it that way. They just teach you how to jump and use your wand and stuff. Like, it's, you know, it's a mystery as to, like, what different things do in this game. But, like I said, once you get the requisite amount of, like, emeralds or whatever, that the game will have, like, a little sign that shows, like, emerald and then four. You have to pick up four emeralds, and then that activates a machine, which lets you push a box, which lets you blow up an object that is in your way. For some reason, it's like a big cake on a stand that you can't just walk around. Little abstract things like that happen, which is pretty cool. Also, your checkpoints are giant cats, and that's great. No notes there. So it's a mix between Wario, like, because of the way that, you know, you hold down the run button to run, and, like, you can kind of do a smash attack, like, with a specific hat on with that. And it also is a little bit like Bubble Bobble, because your default wand is a bubble wand, and it functions exactly like the dinosaur's bubble spit in a Bubble Bobble. But, you know, once you collect some jewels, you can trade that for something that does, like, a lightning strike. Then there's a moon wand, which also does a lightning strike. I guess they're just different lightning strikes that will get rid of different objects or something like that. There are enemies, and when you hit them, you know, you can trap them in bubbles and then pop them, like in Bubble Bobble, or you can just zap them with one of your zapper wands. You just use the directional button to choose between them. And they tend to fly towards the view of the player, which is just like throwing a foot soldier in Ninja Turtles in Time, which is also great. That's actually the reason why I wanted to play this game. I was like, I like that. And so, you know, I was like, let's just go with that. And yeah, like I said, it's like it's basically just, yeah, platforming, fighting enemies, collecting stuff, trying to figure out what everything is and does in a way that I think looks really cute. Like, it's not the most innovative thing in the world, but it, you know, at least the basic points are communicated clearly enough. I would have definitely appreciated some more text in this game, but as it stands, it's a pretty cool little thing. And yeah, the animation is really fluid. It really, like, keeps up the frame rate and things like that. You know, it's, it feels like the good version of, like, one of those weird, like, European platformers on the Super Nintendo back in the day, something like Incantation or whatever, but, you know, with actual, you know, modern sauce to it, which is very nice. Yeah, that's pretty much the only thing I would have said about this is, like, yeah, give me some more text. Let me know what's going on in this game, you know? Like, I don't know what this bunny head thing does, and I won't know until I spend 20 jewels, which is, like, you know, twice as much as I have at the end of, like, several stages, until I buy it and then find out, you know, what does this do, you know? So, yeah.
I am looking at screenshots for this game, and Jesus Christ, this is a busy game.
Yes, graphically, a lot's going on. Just know that half of the things...
screenshots are hard to look at.
Yeah, it's got a lot. And, like, you know, in the shop, there's, like, people walking around. In the tutorial, there's also people looking around. You cannot interact with them. They're just there. It's a little bit like, is it Shovel Knight, I think? Like, some of the people you can talk to, but sometimes there's just people walking around. And, yeah. You know, some RPGs are like that, too. It's just, like, they're just there. They're background. And then sometimes, yeah, you interact with things, you know? Like, exploding apples or evil ducks with glasses, you know? It's just any kind of thing. But.
All right.
Like I said, it's a confusing game, but it's ultimately fun.
Let's get a verdict on this one. It clocks in at $10. Again, it comes out on the 4th, and if you pre-order it, you could save $2 on Xbox and Switch. And on Xbox, because it's a Sometimes You game, if you own the Xbox One version, you get 50% off the Series version. So, for $10, what are your thoughts on Candyland's Journey?
Well, I mean, it's not overpriced, that's for sure. Especially for that sale price, it feels like it's good enough. Like I said, it'll scratch a little bit of that platformer itch if you've got it. But, you know, like I said, ultimately, it's... the bubble bobble aspect is my favorite part because, you know, again, you can use that for, like, extra platforming, which is even better. Like, you can put bubbles directly under you and, like, kind of bounce to, like, great heights, which the game doesn't even seem to realize you can do. So it's like it's fun to play. So I'm kind of like, I've got no real complaints. It's just weird. So if it looks good enough to you and you kind of, you know, and it's a little bit hyperactive, like anything made out of candy should be. If you find yourself nostalgic for those, like, European, Amiga-derived platformers that were around in the 16-bit era, this is kind of like an upgrade to that. And you know, it's got enough challenge and enough things to do here. It's just, like I said, I would have really liked something to tell me what these things are, like, that I'm supposed to be buying and using. And that's it. It needs an instruction book. That's all.
All right, sounds good. That is it for YouTube. I don't know how I'm going to edit this, so...
Just cut it.
Do you two have final words?
I want to hear what Purnell has to say.
Same here.
Editing!
Woobie-dibby-doo!
All right, we got one last game we got to talk about tonight, and we're bringing in some help. Purnell's here! Purnell, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Getting ready. Looking forward to packing and going on a nice little trip. And I'm sleepy, but I had a good day, and I'm ready to talk good games. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. You know, just recording a podcast, but should be out by the time you were on vacation. So I got to know, how's your vacation going?
It's going great. Let me tell you. I mean, I'm hypothetically going somewhere at a certain time. It'll be wonderful. I ate food. The food was delicious, I'm sure. And I was able to budget for everything. So it ended up being a great time. Absolutely worth it. I would do it again.
Did you have your Steam Deck on you?
Well, of course I did. I won't get to use it. I didn't get to use it as much as I would have liked because I'm not home. But, well, because I'm on vacation per se. But if I'm in the hotel room at night before going to sleep, I break it out still and use it there.
Use it to play Brock the Investigator, the bar brawl?
No, because joke's on you. I use it to play Brock before I even left for the trip. Hi-ya! Thanks for the early code for that.
Well, then I guess we should talk about it.
Yes, we should. We should Brock. We should Brock brawl. Brock brawl barred up.
I was just gonna see how far you were gonna go with that.
Brock the Breath of Barbara. I wish his name was Brock the Bayou Gator. That way you can do Brock the Bayou Barbara Bash.
He's an investigator.
He is, but and that's great for the normal game, but it doesn't work as well when I go with Barbara. Brawl Bar. I want it more alliteration. More.
All right, Cowcat, that's on you. More alliteration. Make it happen. Brock the Investigator, the Bar Brawl, developed and published by Cowcat, released August 13th on PC for $9.99 as a standalone title on GOG and Itch. It is DLC on Steam and will require the base game to play. It will release as a standalone title on consoles later this year. So it's standalone everywhere but Steam, Steam's DLC. Brock, a former boxer-turned-detective, stumbles upon an underground bar hidden deep in the slums. Old instincts kick in, and he jumps headfirst to prove he's still top dog. Gator. In this gritty yet humorous bar, meet unforgettable characters and uncover surprises around every corner as the story unfolds. Purnell, what is going on in the Bar Brawl?
So this game is a particularly interesting one. So I had been, even though I didn't own it myself until this review, I had been following Brock the Investigator with the thought being like, eventually I might buy this game when I'm not inundated with games. So one of the critiques I remember hearing people talk about was that they felt that if you were into the brawling component of the game, because it has a beat-em-up element mixed inside of like a story mode adventure game, story adventure, the issue is that you spend a lot of time in the narrative and not as much time in the brawling component. So in that regard, this DLC is a nice, you know, change up from that, because this game is all about the brawling. There's narrative here, but not a ton. It takes second fiddle to the actual beatdown structure of the game. But it's now wrapped in the guise of a party brawler with added elements to that. So long story short, Brock ends up in a underground seedy brawl bar. In this place, he is able to earn money by engaging in a series of about 60 or so mini games with a couple of bonus ones you can unlock. And they all in some way incorporate the brawling component and brawling mechanics that, you know, Brock had for his brawling, his beat 'em up sections. So, give you an example, one basic level might be Brock. Again, I also need to preface, he's wearing a VR set through this. That's which is why you can get all the different weird modes and stuff. It's all done through VR. So in one mode, Brock might be in a basic structure where it's like, beat these guys up before the clock expires. Beat them up before they beat you up, and a series of enemies will show up. Then you might get another one saying something like, resolve this platforming section by destroying all the balloons or coins before the time expires. And then you'll get something even stranger, like now you're not even Brock, now you're a Catman who has a bit of a different move structure associated with him, but now you have to beat up these police officer bears without letting them sneeze on you, which is more ridiculous than it sounds because they're fighting, but then every once in a while they have a cold, so just sneeze. And if you're in the way, instant death. So why would you want to go through all these crazy, you know, sessions of mini games and the like? Well, because one, there's a bit of a, well, not one, number one, but one of the reasons is because there's a little bit of a narrative that does play out as you progress through this bar and engage in each individual minigame. The other thing is because, quite frankly, it's actually a bit of fun. And the last thing, from a natural perspective of the character that you're controlling, is that he earns money that can be spent in the actual bar, only in the bar, to unlock a variety of things, such as bonus games or little additional storyline beats and food that can be purchased to make mini games a little bit easier to engage, because you can eat the food to get like health bumps and stuff like that. But the problem is, if you spend the money on the food for the mini game, even if you decide not to eat it before the level's over, you do not get to keep the food and it goes away. So spend wisely, as they say, or else you'll regret it. So it's funny in the sense that there's not a lot to talk about here, but what there is here is a lot of fun. The controls are pretty solid. The only thing I wish is that grappling was more of a component. Like, Brock is more of a boxing gator is his primary bit. But unfortunately, he doesn't really do much in the form of grappling, which is, when it comes to beat 'em ups, I love grappling effect. So unfortunately, not too much of that. But other than that, he does what he needs to do. The other thing I need to mention, too, is that Brock also, well, not Brock, the character, Brock the game, also gives you the ability to customize and create your own levels, should you desire to do so. So there's a customized creator mode that will allow you to pretty much go in and create a bit of a challenge, whether you make the type of challenge, you know. Yeah. And I actually never really did a whole lot with it, but essentially you can pretty much lay out the level. You can choose the actual goal of the challenge. You can put the items down, traps, characters, and all that, and then let it run. And if you like it, you can save it and upload it to Steam, or just play it yourself with your friends when you have them over, which is kind of cool in and of itself, because could you imagine if Mario Party had something like this? It'd be pretty ridiculous in the sense that Nintendo would be very... It would. I don't know. It's almost like my gripe that I had with like sports games not letting you just download the rosters every year instead of making you buy the whole stupid game again. But I think it's a really cool idea for that. Being able to choose levels, the level layout, you can put the items down in it, you can choose the challenge objective, which you type in yourself. It's just a good idea and something that I wish more games did for you. And you can even give them a bunch of modifiers and stuff too, such as, you know, like, you know, if you want the gravity to get a little wonky or something like that, or if anybody, but it's like hit point levels. Without rambling, I think they did a great job with giving you the means to customize challenges and build your own personal hodgepodge of things to play in this game. I don't know how much it costs. You'll be telling me that in a short period of time. But I do feel as though, and it's in my experience with the game, I had a fun time playing it. I think there's a fair bit here to engage in. And even if you feel as though you get stuck on a challenge and you don't want to endure it anymore because it's giving you such a, it's being such a pain in the ass, you can actually spend money to skip the challenge entirely. So you're not even forced to do levels that you don't feel comfortable doing. So there you go.
There you go indeed. The price on this, which you pulled at Jacob, because he never knows the price, and I say it in the intro.
Well, I'm always, when you say the intro, I usually, it's hard. Sometimes I'm like kind of standing there thinking, like, okay, you're giving yourself up time to prepare. You got to prepare for the talking. And other times I do listen because I'll say, well, you already kind of covered the baseline of the story, so I don't have to go into that. I've done that before, so it just varies.
Jacob just blanks starely, and he's like, what's the price? This one clocks in at $10. Again, it is DLC on Steam, standalone on GOG and Itch. So for $10, what's your verdict on the bar brawl?
I'd say this is a solid buy. It's totally worth $10. Especially if you like the brawling aspect or the beat-em-up components of Brock, or if you like the character and voices that were featured in Brock, because the voice work in this game, I think, is very good, too. So,
awesomeness. All right. Well, that does it for this episode. We
My
are
shortest
finished.
Week in years.
Pernell, you're the only one here right now. Everybody else dropped off the call during that review. So I don't know what
happened.
Yeah,
but I only had one review.
Like,
how rare is that? Oh, that was the you know, time temporal vortex that opened up. Yeah. Sucks to be them, because I'm still or were we the ones sucked in? I don't know. Shit. Well, I guess if the show makes it to the release, then we know that we are the ones who are in the real world. They're sucked in the temporal vortex.
True, unless the temporal vortex gets Wi-Fi.
In which case, yeah. Well, I'm not on vacation yet. I'm also on vacation at the show at the same time. Schrodinger's vacation.
Good shit. Pernell, have yourself a wonderful vacation. If I could talk, that'd be wonderful. We're going to play some music from Mustin and Dale from Pokemans, because you mentioned Brock, and ooh, I kept thinking of Brock from Pokemon.
Mm-mm. The Pokemans, the...
I was actually thinking of wrestler Brock Lesnar, but I don't think I could play his music and get away with it. So I'll play something from Pokemon instead.
Okay.
Final words Pokemon to end the show?
I don't know. More alliteration makes the world go round. Let's do this thing. Everybody get alliterative.
I wonder if Paul Heyman has final words.